you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. 3 John, verse 4.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. Wow, day 14 into this new year, 2 weeks into the new year. It's hard to believe. It's just marching right along, but I trust that God is at work in your life, or maybe it'll be the first time you're accepting that concept that maybe there's a God that loves you and cares for you. And he wants to be a part of your life. And I'd hope through today's broadcast, it's going to be kind of a testimony Tuesday on Wednesday, but I hope through the broadcast you're going to be encouraged, because I was encouraged. I was greatly encouraged. Actually, I was taught, there was conviction, there was healthy insight and storytelling, because today's special guest, Pastor David Upchurch, he currently serves as the church relations officer of a part of Ozark Christian College, Lincoln Seminary, and he's been a pastor for many, many years. I think he said last Saturday that 48 years in February involved in the ministry, so he's pastored a number of churches, I think 4 different churches. We're going to hear all about it in just a moment. He's been in many, many countries on mission outreaches, does a lot of training and teaching. In fact, I'm getting him signed up to be a part of our ministry leader luncheon in the coming months, maybe in April. But I want to introduce him to you, because last Saturday, I was so blessed and encouraged. He gives a lot of examples of ordering our priorities and the influence that a dad can have on our lives. And he was speaking to men. This was part of the BMIC, Businessmen in Christ, monthly Saturday breakfast, kind of like a brunch, because you can have eggs and bacon, and yet they have fried chicken. Anyways, I want to give him a lot of time, because there were so many stories that he told and shared that were heartfelt and helpful. And so David, besides being married up to the First Lady Cindy, who you said is a delight and a helpmeet and the love of your life, maybe you'll do a shout out about her, but tell us a little of your background. So it's kind of a Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday. So a little of your faith journey, life story, and then how God has you working for Ozark Christian College, Lincoln Seminary.
Okay, Mark, thanks for letting me be on here with you today. It's so good to get to know you. And I grew up not far from Springfield, a little place called Buckhart, Illinois, right outside of Rochester. We lived on 5 acres, a little farm. I had my dad, my mom, 2 older brothers, and a little sister. And as far as my faith journey, my mom took us to church every Sunday. My dad didn't start going until probably I was about 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And then once he surrendered to Christ, he was all in. And so I was able to see him for a while as maybe not the best example to a really good example. And he modeled what it meant to be a Christian man, a Christian husband, a dad, taught me to love God and love the church. After high school, I went to Lincoln Christian College, and I graduated from there. And then I served in 4 different churches. I've been in ministry now almost 48 years. I work for Lincoln Christian College, and now I work for Ozark Christian College.
You shared something interesting, and for our variety of listeners, you talked about your dad surrendered to Christ, but that might be like a foreign concept to many or to some tuned in today. What does that mean, and what does it mean to like follow Jesus, or some will say, ask him into my heart, or, you know, he died on the cross, that he paid the penalty for my sin because of his shed blood. And those are terms like us Christians, you know, throw around and know what it means. But what does it mean to surrender to Christ? And why surrender to Christ?
Sure thing. Dad was one of those guys, he relied on himself. And he grew up kind of rough. Was in World War II when he was 17 years old and saw a lot of tough things. And I think that he always wanted to be able to take care of himself, take care of us. And he started going to church a little bit at a time. And as he learned more and more about this God who loved him, he didn't just love the world, but he loved him. And I think my mom was the one that he saw, this is what a person's life is like when they surrender to Jesus, when they say, Jesus, I want you to be in charge, not me. And so he took that step. He took that step and he asked Jesus to be a savior. He was baptized into his name and he became a devoted follower.
I know on Saturday, this past Saturday, when you spoke, and you were the headliner. That was a new title I think somebody attributed to you, and you thought, I have to put that on my resume, though, I'm a headliner.
I have never been called a headliner in my entire career.
But you did a great job, and you shared, and it was very heartfelt. I mean, there was a couple different stories you told about your dad that I think many of us kind of gulped, and I had to hold back emotions because I thought, wow. And I love the fact that you said, you know, he wasn't perfect. He didn't excel in every single spiritual fruit of the Spirit and such, but he was a good man that loved Jesus. And that could be an encouragement for many men today. None of us are perfect. We all need Jesus. We all fall short. But you gave a number of illustrations, and I love the one about the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. When I was in about second or third grade, we lived in a big two-story house, 10-foot ceilings. And our Christmas tree was one of those big kind of Chevy Chase Christmas vacation trees. And we were decorating it one year. And it's amazing how you put the Christmas lights away and they're all working. And when you get them out of the attic, half of them don't work.
Right.
And so my job was to make sure that the ones that were not shining would shine. Well, let me back up. My mom and dad had just gotten new carpet in the living room. Only time we ever had new carpet. And so I've got these lights lined out all over there, those big bulbs that we used to have. And when they all started working, I picked up the lights, or I tried to pick them up to put them on the tree, but they didn't pick up because some of them had gotten so hot, they melted into the carpet.
And our older listeners will remember those big bulbs that would get hot.
And that's why you had houses that burned down at Christmas time. But it melted these big black spots throughout the living room.
On that brand new carpeting.
On the brand new carpeting. And my dad, to say he got mad would be an understatement. He was very mad. There were words that came out of his mouth that were not Merry Christmas. And I thought Christmas was ruined. And there was a possibility I might have to go live in the orphanage. He was that mad. And so the next morning, I woke up. It ruined the day, the night. I came out of my room. There was not a suitcase packed. So I thought, well, I'm not going to the orphanage. And I went downstairs, and Mom had spent probably all night, and she had taken remnants from the carpet, got the thread, and somehow had taken a needle, and she sewed them. And it didn't look like new carpet, but it was better. And to my dad's credit, he never said another word about that. And for me, the takeaway was my dad loved me more than he loved that carpet. And yeah, he had gotten mad, but in the long run, he loved me more. And I really think that taught me something, maybe planted the seed about God's unconditional love, that God doesn't love us just because we're so lovable. We make mistakes, but he loves us. And my dad modeled God's love for me.
And the fact that really touched my heart, that he never brought it up again. Because sometimes we can forgive, but we don't forget. And in marriages and relationships, you know, it gets brought up or it gets subtly mentioned or innuendos towards it. And the fact he taught you that, kind of one and done, yes, I was upset at the time, but you're loved. Right. Another story, you didn't get to share this with the guys, but you were telling me off air, was Dairy Queen. And, you know, this radio ministry has the story of where I went to Dairy Queen, got a blizzard, and I went out searching for radio towers. And it's kind of a neat story how God brought that all about. But you got to do a little touche with your dad. Tell me that story again.
I'm not sure how old I was, but I was in the car with him, and we were in Springfield, Illinois. There was a walk-up Dairy Queen back before they had burgers and all that, just shakes and ice cream. And my dad looked at me, and he said, hey, do you want to stop at Dairy Queen? And I said, I don't care. And he just kept going. And so I thought we were going to stop at Dairy Queen. He said, well, if you wanted to, we would, but if you don't care, we'll just go on home. And I learned never to say I don't care again.
Yeah, right.
Well, you fast forward about 20 years, and I was preaching in Havana, Illinois, and we were going to take a mission trip to Mexico. And we had been working, clearing land. We were preparing to build a church camp. And it was hot. We were sitting in the shade, and I looked at my dad, and I said, I'm going to go get a Coke.
And I want to point this out. This is 20 years
later. Yeah, 20
later.
Years. 20 years have gone by. I said, I'm going to go get a Coke. Do you want one? And he said, I don't care. And so a memory came back to me, and I went and I got a Coke, and I came back, I sat by my dad, I took a couple of drinks, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see him looking at me. So finally, I looked at him, and he said, "I thought you were going to get me one." And I said, "Well, Dad, you said you didn't care. Yeah. Now, if you really wanted one, I would have got you one, but you didn't care." And the look on his face, he knew I was getting him back. And I did go back and get him a Coke.
Right, right. So you had a dad that came to know the Lord. You saw some changes in him, faithful church attender, reading God's word. He modeled many things for you. And part of your sharing this past Saturday was the priorities that not only did he have, but priorities that you were encouraging all the men to consider and take to heart. And for that matter, many women are tuned in today, and girls and people of all ages. What are some of those priorities for all of us that will help us model Christ to others or be helpful in our own journey in this new year?
Well, the first priority is the priority of God in your life, and not just God on Sunday, but having that walk with God every day, knowing that He is there every day. It's been said there's no problem too big or too small for God not to care.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we're better handing the big problems over than the small everyday ones, but He wants to be a part of our everyday life. And so making our relationship with God a priority is the first thing. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else.
And I think you were saying along the lines that the better we love God, the better we can love others.
Sure. The more we love God, the better we can love our wife, mm-hmm. or our husband, our kids, our grandkids, our friends. The love of God is what allows us to know what love is. And the more we love Him and spend time with Him, the better we're going to be with other people.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about a survey, which was surprising to many of us, where as people prioritize their work or their different things that are important to them, I think the family at 7 and God at 10, which is not the priority we want for the family. So talk a little more. As we learn to love God effectively and well, it should transcend into us loving our spouse, loving our kids, loving our neighbor better. But why do these other things compete? What clouds our minds that suddenly work or other things become the top priority above even our relationship with God?
I don't know if it's just human nature, but we get wrapped up in the things that we can see. We get wrapped up with the things that we encounter, and it could be we get more committed to our work or to our hobbies. One of the big concerns was health that they listed, and everything else that isn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
We get more concerned about things that won't matter 100 years from now because they matter today.
Mm-hmm.
And because they just matter today, I think we put God aside a little bit because that's someday. But our relationship with God, the things of God, are the most important thing. That's the only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now, so it should be the main thing that matters today.
Yeah, I think he even said, even things that seemingly matter greatly today, 10 years from now, are forgotten or overlooked, or in the scheme of things are like, why was I so all in or passionate about that when it's meaningless right now?
Yeah, it is so easy to get wrapped up, and then sometimes I can get wrapped up in a problem,
mm-hmm.
and 2 weeks later, I think that was no big deal. But at the time, it seemed like a big deal.
Right, right. And you gave different examples about pride or our anger. Why is prioritizing our character so important?
Well, our character reveals who we really are, and our character is what other people will eventually see. Even if we hide it for a while, even if we pretend, at some point our character comes out. And there are some things that you alluded to, like arrogance or pride. We've got to be humble. You know, we're told that we're to be like Jesus, who humbled himself and did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself. He was humble. And we need to do that. Men, women, doesn't matter who we are, a good mark of character is that humility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other thing we need to let go of, we need to control, is our anger.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an angry society. And I think I mentioned that maybe the reason we live in an angry society is because kids have seen angry dads, mm-hmm. or angry moms. They've grown up with that. And we've got to break that cycle. We need to be more patient, more loving, and less angry.
Mm-hmm. Now, we opened up today's program with you reciting 3 John. Now, there's only just 3 John. There's no chapter 1, 2, 3. It's I guess you could say 3 John chapter 1, but there is only just 3 John. But verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Of all the scriptures, why did you pick that one to share today?
Well, one of the things I'm doing is I'm doing some grandparenting seminars and trying to focus on how grandparents can have more of an impact on their grandkids' lives. But when this is written, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I know John was talking about his spiritual children, but for me, you know, I've been in ministry for 48 years, but I want to make sure that my kids and my grandkids are going to be in heaven. Our priority ought to be to live our lives in a way that we've surrendered and we are going to go to heaven. But what if I preach to everyone else, but not my kids?
Right.
And so to do whatever we can to make sure that our kids and our grandkids are seeing Jesus in us, and they're going to be drawn to him through us.
And I may have to have you back, because didn't you just recently come out with a book?
I did.
I co-authored
a book, The Disciple Making Grandparent.
The Disciple Making Grandparent. And how can people get access to it or purchase it?
It is on Amazon.
Okay.
Like I said, it's open doors to do grandparenting seminar, but it is available on Amazon.
And so say a pastor or a large group, Sunday school class or something, wants to have you come in and maybe talk about this subject, how would they get in touch with you?
Probably email would be the best way, and my email is upchurch.david@occ.edu.
upchurch.david@occ.edu. And in case you just tuned in the studio with me is David Upchurch, so that's why the email has the Upchurch and the David in it. He serves as the church relations officer for Ozark Christian College, Lincoln Seminary. And you told a neat story of how Lincoln Christian College, many of our listeners, in fact, our office manager and some of her children graduated from Lincoln Christian College, and I think it was Lincoln Christian University. But with them in transition and such with the building and the properties and such, did they donate that to Ozark Christian College? How'd that all work?
The college closed its academic operation. And so the college, there was the college, which is the undergrad, and the seminary, which is the graduate. And so the undergrad was closing. The seminary was gifted to Ozark.
Wow.
And so Ozark calls it Lincoln Seminary at Ozark. And not only was the seminary gifted to Ozark, which we believe that's the only time that's ever happened.
Right.
We don't know of any other time. $4.8 million in endowed scholarships went with that.
Wow. And so you go to churches, to various ministries, you travel around and share the great, unique educational opportunity that Ozark can provide and the degrees and the curriculum and such. Is that what you kind of highlight and feature?
Yes. I represent in the Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa area. A lot of churches were very familiar with Lincoln for decades, but they weren't familiar with Ozark. And so with Lincoln not being an academic institution anymore, Ozark is a great option. And
wow.
So I'm just trying to build bridges.
So how can people get in touch with you? Maybe they have a student, or maybe they themselves want to attend or find out more information, or have you come and speak and present. How would they get in touch with you?
They can do the email that I just gave, or my cell phone I'll give out. It's 217-341-1336, 217-341-1336. And I would encourage texting. I usually don't answer.
Sure.
There's so many scams out there.
All
but
right.
If you text me, I will definitely text you back.
And we'll have not only David's email address, but we'll have the phone number. So you can call the station, whether it's 217-367-7777, an easy one for you to remember, or our Springfield location, 217-528-2300. We'll get you connected with David. He's going to be a future speaker at my ministry leader luncheon, and I so appreciate his transparency, his sharing, his storytelling, and prioritizing these ways to grow in your Christian walk. Prioritizing God first and foremost. Make sure you connect with God each and every day. the priority of the family, putting them as a great priority. God has gifted you with oversight and involvement in your family, so make sure you do that. And the character, as you walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading, as you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, that you allow your integrity to be consistent with your spiritual walk. And I'll give you the closing minute or two. I know the First Lady, Cindy, your wife, has assisted you in ministry for many years. Tell me briefly how you met and that love story.
You bet. I was a sophomore at Lincoln Christian College. Mm. She was an incoming freshman. There was a crowded room full of students. I looked across the room, and I saw the cutest girl I'd ever seen in my life. And 4 years later, she was my wife.
So 4 years, so dated, and then finally you just felt like, Lord, I think this is the one I should do ministry work with?
Or? I knew she was the one before she knew I was the one, but she has just been great. Anything that I've been able to do is because of her. And we have three kids that there were times I was gone, and she handled everything. She's a retired school teacher. She has impacted so many students and families over the years as well.
Well, David, I'm going to be praying up your ministry through Ozark Christian College and Lincoln Seminary and the work you're doing where you're speaking to different groups, your new book on equipping seniors to look at their grandchildren as a way to love on them and produce godly character for the future generations, and just all that you're trying to do locally. Thank you for this past Saturday speaking at the Businessmen in Christ gathering and taking on the responsibility in April, I think, to share with the pastors in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. Appreciate how you're using your gifts and skill sets and our mutual relationship with Mike Nichols, who I hope to have him as a ministry leader luncheon speaker again. I think he was a part of things about 4 years ago, but anyways, I know you and him were buddies, I think a few years roommates and such. So a shout out for him and the great work he continues to do. But thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And if you missed a portion, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor David Upchurch with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.